Anyway, good morning. My talk's a little bit different than everyone else's. This is sort of one that might have appeared in one of the infectious disease sections or possibly health disparity sections, not a health equity one, because this is actually sort of not exactly health equity, although it is about health disparity. Also, just to mention, I have no conflicts to declare. I work as a consultant for both the Connecticut Emerging Infections Program based at the Yale School of Public Health, as you heard from Marcy, and also at the New York City Health Department. So recent studies in Connecticut and New York City found a strong relationship between poverty level of the census tract where one lives, or census tract poverty level, and Shigatoxin-producing E. coli, or STEC, incidence. This slide shows results from analysis of 12 years of STEC data in Connecticut. On the x-axis, there are four progressively higher categories of census tract poverty, ranging from less than 5% to 20% and higher. I'll be using this format in many slides in the presentation. We found that as census tract poverty increased, age-adjusted STEC incidence decreased. This relationship held for each of the age groups shown on this slide, preschool age, school age, and adults. When New York City conducted a similar analysis combining 8 years of data and examined age-adjusted incidence, they found the same relationship of decreasing incidence with increasing census tract poverty level. So the objective of this study is to determine whether these findings are generalizable nationally. We turned to FoodNet to get a broader picture of STEC incidence. FoodNet conducts active surveillance for all serotypes of STEC and hemolytic uremic syndrome, or HUS, in the 10 states listed on this slide. The FoodNet catchment area comprises about 48 million population. We obtained geocoded STEC incidence data for the five-year period 2010 to 2014. We defined census tract poverty, or CTP, as the percent of residents in a census tract who lived below the federal poverty line. We aggregated census tracts into the four categories shown on this slide, less than 5%, 5 to 9%, 10 to 19%, and 20% or greater. 20% or greater is the highest poverty level in this study. The outcomes we examined were the population level incidence of 0157 and non-0157 STEC combined of HUS and of hospitalized STEC cases. We calculated age-specific and age-adjusted incidence rates for each census tract poverty category and compared them. So this slide shows the distribution of the study population by census tract poverty and the numbers of cases of STEC, STEC hospitalizations, and HUS. 26%, or just over a quarter of the population, lived in the highest poverty census tract category. Looking at the outcome variables, there were more than 5,000 cases of STEC. A slight majority were non-0157, and 26% were hospitalized. HUS cases were included in the total and comprised 6% of all cases. Initially, we examined 0157 and non-0157 separately, but seeing they had a similar relationship with census tract poverty and knowing they had similar risk factors, we combined them to create the all STEC category on the right. Although we created four poverty categories, we found in most analyses that there were no consistent differences between the three categories comprising those in census tracts with less than 20% below the poverty level, i.e. the relatively wealthy census tracts. Thus, we combined them and then compared the combined incidence to the highest poverty group, those with 20% or more living below poverty. This slide shows the age-specific incidence rates by age groups for the two census tract poverty levels. Those in the lower poverty groups are shown in brown. For each age group, those in the lower poverty groups had a higher incidence. This slide uses the same color format to examine incidence by census tract poverty for each of the 10 FoodNet sites. The same relationship was found for each site, although for two sites, California and Colorado, the The difference was not statistically significant. This slide examines consistency of the relationship across the 5 years included in the study. For each year, the lower poverty groups had the highest incidence. Finally, we examined rates by race ethnicity for the four major race ethnic groups for which we had sufficient data. Of note, race ethnicity information in FoodNet is fairly complete, 88% for this study. As you can see, the relationship of higher incidence in lower poverty groups also held for each year of the surveillance, across each major race ethnic group, except for Asian Pacific Islanders. So while it appears that those in the highest poverty census tracts in this group were at highest risk, the difference was not statistically significant. The consistency of the finding leads to the question, why is the lowest incidence in the highest poverty group? There are several major possible hypotheses. First, that this could be an artifact of relative underdiagnosis of STEC in the high poverty group, and that there is no actual difference, or the finding is real. And if real, it might reflect a higher prevalence of risk factors in the lower poverty groups. We can test these possibilities by examining the relative incidence of hospitalization and HUS in lower versus higher poverty groups. We assume there is no relative underdiagnosis of cases requiring hospitalization or cases of HUS, both of which are obviously severe enough that they'll come to medical attention regardless and end up being hospitalized. If we find the relative risk for lower versus higher poverty groups is less than one, then it's likely there's a relative underdiagnosis of outpatient STEC, and hypothesis one is true. However, if the relative risk is greater than one and as high as it is for all STEC, then the relative underdiagnosis of outpatient illness is unlikely, and hypothesis two is true. So this slide shows the incidence of hospitalization by census tract poverty. We found that each of the lower poverty groups had a higher incidence of hospitalization than the highest poverty group, supporting hypothesis two. This slide compares the magnitude of the higher hospitalization risk in lower poverty groups, shown in orange, compared to the magnitude of the overall STEC risk, shown in blue. The relative risk in the hospitalized group was consistently higher overall and for each surveillance year. This finding was also true for most age groups, except in the oldest two age groups. When hospitalization data was just limited to hemolytic uremic syndrome, the findings were the same. The lower poverty groups had a higher incidence than the highest poverty group. And when we examined the relative risk of this relationship of all STEC compared to HUS, again, we found that in general, the relative risk of HUS in lower poverty groups was higher than the relative risk of STEC. So our main conclusions are, first, that persons living in higher SES or lower poverty census tracts appear to be at higher risk of STEC than those living in low SES census tracts, except possibly Asian Pacific Islanders. Second, this likely reflects a higher prevalence of risk factors by SES rather than being an artifact of healthcare seeking and diagnostic bias. So there are several implications. From a research perspective, there's obviously a need to better understand exposure differences between people living in higher versus lower census tract poverty, including children. Another one that's not really listed here is in those who are doing case control studies, looking at risk factors for STEC. Consideration should be given to controlling for poverty level in those studies. Then from a prevention perspective, in addition to highlighting risk factors, educational efforts to prevent STEC should be directed to all SES groups. And finally, I'd just like to thank all of those at CDC and at each FoodNet site who made this analysis possible and who provided invaluable input into the analysis and interpretation.